Hey everybody, how you doing? Hey, listen up, I got a big announcement. Me and my friend Lexi Schlimmer of Hess Van Schlimmer Metalworks have recently teamed up for this year on November 24th, Riffs for Gifts. This will be a Toys for Tots charity rock show over at Pops in Sauget, Illinois, and we'll feature Outrun the Fall, The Poor, Steeples, Monk and the People, The Matching Shoe, and Silent Hollow. This will be a $10 donation at the door, or a $5 donation with a toy donation also. So we're going to try to raise a bunch of money and a bunch of toys for the kids, for the neighborhood, do a little good for the neighborhood. And I've heard a little rumor maybe that Santa Claus might be there, so that's really exciting. Can't wait to see you all out there. Again, November 24th, Riffs for Gifts over at Pops. More details will be coming soon, but do not miss this show. Biggest thing I've been a part of yet, and I'm so excited to see everybody. And it's going to be a great night for a great cause. See you all very soon. Thanks, everybody.
Hi, this is Lexi.
And Sid.
Of Hess Van Schlimmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlimmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlimmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
We tried.
Hey, everybody. Shane here with Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. They swing by and visit them Tuesday through Saturday for a glass of wine, whiskey, or local craft beers, and see my one and only there on October 4th. Kevin Buckley Trio on October 5th. Diesel Island on Saturday, October 6th. And I will be back out at Naked Vine on Tuesday, October 9th for my monthly singer-songwriter storytelling showcase. This month, October, will feature Philip Russo, Matthew Hitchcock, and Samantha Clemens. That's a $5 ticket for that show, 7 p.m. So come on over and party with us at Naked Vine. All these shows and more can be found at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And again, everything nakedvine.net. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio, it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Ben.
This is Mo.
This is Cosimo.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out at the dark room. Actually, we're upstairs above the dark room with some of the guys. You guys want to go ahead and introduce yourselves for everybody listening?
Cosimo Taylor, trumpet player.
Piano player Mo Edgiston.
And saxophonist Ben Reese.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this, guys. This is you guys are three guys I'm a big fan of. I've been keeping an eye on things. I don't always get to make it down here as often as I'd like, definitely three that are very involved in what's going on, especially here at the Dark Room, but in St. Louis music and stuff. So, and we just had a big party last week in here with the Sounds of St. Louis Showcase, and you all three were a part of that. Which I guess that was sort of all three of you were also supposed to be playing at Lou Fest, which got canceled. Obviously, everybody pretty well aware of that. But it was really great to see the community rally and put together these showcases and different things around the city to compensate for everything that we missed out on there. So, fill me in, guys. How'd that go? I was unable to make it on Sunday down here to the Dark Room and Grandel Theater.
I almost felt like it was a blessing in disguise. I feel like the event here was better than the Lou Fest thing could have been. For the simple fact that you've had all these musicians in one place, and you know, a lot of us don't get to see each other playing that often, so it's like you had everybody in one spot. It was just kind of like a big hang, you know, for the music community. And also, there were some bands that, you know, I didn't know of. Like, apparently when I was playing, there was a death metal dude on the
brand new stage. That Dracula.
Dracula. So,
yeah.
It was a nice mix.
Yeah, yeah, a little something for everybody that day, for sure. There was River Kittens and the Burney Sisters, and, you had your rock, you had some folk, some jazz, a little bit of everything out there. Everybody raved about it online. I read a lot of people's reviews and stuff. They were all said that it was just a great time here. But it's cool to see, like you're saying, like gives you an opportunity to get to hang out with your buddies and stuff that, you know, you don't always get to see these guys playing.
Well, hopefully it was a forecast of more things to come just like that down here in Grand Center. It showcased the room's abilities, you know, outside of the community, a great place to get together and hang. But the theater, being able to host all different kinds of music, and it sounded amazing. And then just for people to just really see what was going on in Grand Center, just to feel safe down here and know that, like, there's a lot of really cool things going on. I could imagine that kind of thing turning into, like, our own Lou Fest, you know, the Sound of St. Louis Festival or whatever. We got plenty of venues down here. We do the jazz crawl down here every Wednesday, which gets to showcase all the different venues. Now we've got the Big Top Circus, which could have a huge headliner act, you know. And then we also could possibly incorporate the, you know, historic Gaslight District down the street, maybe. Could be something to bring the whole thing together. But definitely a blessing in disguise, and kind of got the gears turning for, I think, a lot of people, of the even more the potential of this area.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I love that, just to see the community coming together. There was several different things that popped up over that weekend, so it was nice to see everybody come together in such a fashion and so quickly too, put together. Everybody wanted to lend a hand, so
One day.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, seriously. So. I was real impressed with that. I mean, obviously the foundation has been good for the three of us as residents, with the various ways that we're supported, but I even reached out to Chris that next day and just thanked him, you know, as I'm sure other people did too, because I was just amazed that they were able to just get everything together, get all the resources together that quickly, and then amazed that it went as smoothly as it did. Right. So it's really a credit to the whole staff here, foundation, and then all the extra hands that they had, because I know some people stuck around that were supposed to be here, to, you know, and so at least some of the the work wasn't lost. I mean, I know some people did lose still, for sure, that's the reality, but a lot of the artists, in terms of the time that we put in and also the income we were planning to make, not losing that was pretty phenomenal, because that's generally not how that plays out. Yeah. So it was pretty exciting to see.
Yeah, man. Well, you so let's get into a little more about the dark room here itself, and what you guys are doing here, because this I think I went down here, came down here my first time not too long ago, and which is I was aware of what was going on here and everything, obviously just following you guys online and stuff and kind of keeping tabs on it, but like I'm not as into the jazz scene and community as I'm sort of approaching this as an outsider. I'm like, I'm still new to this scene that you guys have developed in. Actually I stopped in and had a drink, you were on stage that night, and Hank playing, and we stopped in before the I went to see Amos Lee next door at play with the Powell Symphony Hall, which was amazing, playing with the orchestra and everything. It was a great night, but I got to, so that was the first time getting to see Mo play, and that was a lot of fun. Like, it was just really something completely different than I usually do. So like it was fun to be, you know, living here all my life and still discovering new parts of St. Louis, you know, and well into my 30s now. So, tell me a little bit more about the Dark Room. How all three of you guys get involved with what they have happening here?
I would say I'm the rookie here with the Dark Room. These guys have been with the Dark Room name longer than this new home has been. So for me, along with the Kranzberg Arts Foundation, has been just an awesome laboratory and a freedom to, and a source of income, to do whatever I want to do on a professional level. And so there's loyalties being created here too that brings a great sense of family and not a lot of pressure on the artists, because you're not having to haggle with the management about anything, about numbers or dollars or anything. You just come here and, you know, hone your craft and display the creative things you got going on. So it's been very much a catalyst in seeing out anything I want to, you know, see out in terms of original music.
Thank you.
Mo, you should take it over.
Yeah, well, like Ben said, I've definitely been around, as Kaz has, since the beginning of the Dark Room as a brand, and that was over at the old location, up actually on Grand. I started there playing just a solo piano thing, primarily before the shows, like a Friday evening type of thing, and then eventually took over Saturday evenings in a smaller capacity. But I've seen it grow from a nonprofit wine bar that was not really going to do music all the way into, you know, what it is now. And it's been pretty exciting to be a part of it. You know, all the things that have been said, my particular night now has evolved into something that I call late night grooves, which is Saturdays, you know, designed to be an after show or just a later type hang. So I go a little bit of different direction in terms of the types of music that I do. I'm able to feature artists, singers, horn players, and definitely like to feature people that are doing writing themselves. You know, there's a support for original music in this town, but it seems somewhat around particular genres, not necessarily jazz or even, you know, soul type music. Do you see a large original music community? So in having the opportunity and the freedom to feature people like Paige Alyssa and recently Chrissy Renick and Sherry Evans, who are all singers who work but write as well, and here they get to be free. And then also, of course, when I do my own set with the Moe All-Stars, I get to be completely free. And with that band, it's always been, we do what we do, but we can also do whatever is necessary for the room. And as a working musician, you get used to going into a place and saying, okay, this crowd needs that, this crowds need that. But here, it's about your art, you know, and you get to be an artist. And I've never had anything like this in my career, and it's been fantastic. You know, just the support and the freedom has been a game changer.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, and I, so I started, I think I was the first band here. So I played in a band with Chris Hansen back in the day. And I guess it was, a little over 4 years ago, and I knew that he had this going on. I think the Dark Room had been open for about 6 months, maybe. And, you know, I'd been getting myself back out into the scene, and I wanted to play somewhere. Like, I wanted to play jazz, but I didn't want to play in a jazz spot. You know, I wanted to play somewhere where you could get, like, a wide variety of people. So I hit Chris up about playing at the Dark Room, and he's like, cool, you know, it wasn't a bunch of money, but he said, let's try it. So initially I thought I'd do like a kind of like a happy hour thing. So we tried 6 to 9, and that didn't really happen. So we switched it to 9 to 11. And what happened with that time slot is, you know, a lot of musicians started coming out to hang at the sets. And, you know, and then of course you have musicians come out, they want to play. So it kind of turned into like a musician's hang on Wednesday nights. And it just started growing. And like being in Mo touched on, like the cool thing about doing this was like you didn't have the pressure of having the place packed every night. You know, you could just do your thing. You didn't have to worry about, you know, club owner stiffing you out of your money. You know, you just show up, do your thing. You know, you're going to get paid. And to have that as an artist, it just frees you up, just like do what you want to do. And it makes it a whole lot easier. Thank you. another thing about this place is I look at it as like a continuum of like places that were around when I was younger. Like actually right up the street where KDHX is located, it was a place called the Uptown Lounge. And back in the day, that was like the hang. Actually on Wednesday nights, there was a jazz thing put on by the Crusaders of Jazz. And it was like cats like me, Danny Campbell, Russell Gunn, Keon Harrell, Marcus Baylor, you know, all these cats, we would go there and hang out and sit in and play with like Willie Akins and Freddie Washington and all those other dudes. So for me, it's kind of like a continuation of that lineage, you know. Like Ben mentioned, the Gaslight Square District is right down the street. And then also we're kind of like at the Del Mar divide of St. Louis, which is kind of like this racial divide of St. Louis. So I think it plays more of a social, or it ties into the social aspect as well than just music. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an interesting point too, because I see that with Saturdays, the room looks different every time, you know, and some of it has to do with like a particular show that's at the Fox, or if the symphony's in or the symphony's not. And, you know, socially, St. Louis obviously has issues in terms of segregation, and this club is for the room, and this club is for that, and all of that. But here, if you're trying to see just one type of person, you're going to be disappointed, you know, because right. You really cannot predict what the room is going to look like. And as a person who bounces around to all scenes in this town, that's pretty refreshing, yeah. You know, so just the community aspect of that and the location, you know, it is interesting because I see people that I'm hoping are coming from other parts of the community that really don't, you know, necessarily go to some of the clubs historically that we've played through the years. Right. So all of that is good. Yeah.
So all three of you have at least monthly shows, right? And yeah. A couple times a month sometimes?
Yeah, I'm here every week.
Every week now?
9 to 11.
Yeah.
I do every Saturday at 10, rotating different featured artists.
Yeah?
Yeah, my group is here on Thursdays, always the last Thursday, and right. Sometimes we'll pick up an extra one.
Yeah. Well, get involved with all things Dark Room here and all these guys. You guys are all over, we got Facebook and all the other stuff, and we'll get involved in the calendar and come out and support live music here. But yeah, let's talk about too Kevin mentioned he wanted the live stream. You guys, so this is something that's pretty new. I guess July they started live streaming all the shows. I guess that goes to the Facebook Live, right?
Right.
Yeah. So they can get in. So everybody, if you happen to miss out and you want to watch from the house and see what you're missing out on, you can keep up to date with all the shows there. So check out that live stream, but definitely, you know, come out to the next one for sure.
Yeah. I think the live stream is just a continuation to, well, one, it like, for the musicians that have to play under mm-hmm. those conditions,
right?
You have to be professional. You show up and you can, you know that the world is watching on top of the people in the room. So, you know, you just got to get your things together in terms of acting professionally, knowing that it's going to be out there, both just your stage presence and the music that you're presenting. You know, it's a great way to, after the fact, to archive and document, to see one, your own performances and see how things come across and how that vibe was missed or caught, you know, in a particular setting. But just like the showcase last week happened, it's awesome for musicians to check out and be inspired by their peers. You know, we can see who's all of our friends that are playing any night of the week down here and say, man, you know, I want to hook up with these guys now. You know, I like what they're doing or whatever it is. It's a great way to continue the networking, you know, even from your own home, just watching the stream or something like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, musicians are so critical of themselves and each other, and it's a humbling experience for sure to know that your stuff's all out there in real time. You know, there's no, but that's the way jazz and this kind of music that we play works anyway. You know, so we're always laying it all out there on any given night with all the errors and everything that come with it. But it is great to see what else is going on too, mm-hmm. just in terms of people you don't get to hang with and see, like the like younger, you know, the next 20 somethings that are putting their stuff together and trying to figure it out where they fit in, and they're given an opportunity here. I think the showcase also was a great chance to not just highlight, you know, the jazz scene, you know, because we had the jazz and heritage stage was kind of how this all, the showcase came together, but it was really, it covered many styles, and I think the Grand Center in general was a microcosm of the diversity here, and the good and the bad of that too, but you can pretty much get everything here, from the theater to the orchestra to the blues and the hippie community radio station. I mean, it's all here, and it's awesome to come see that. And then with the, you know, the live stream too, just being able to check that out. So
right.
It makes it feel kind of like a, the one that comes to mind would be like Smalls or something like that in New York. Yeah. You know, I was playing at the Bistro last night, and my wife came, and she's had sort of a moment where she's watching the band and looking out onto Washington Avenue out the window. I was like, man, this feels like I'm in a big city, you know, it's like a really upscale, and the Bistro has that vibe for anyone. And we have, you know, the famous Powell Hall and Fox Theater for, and then here is more, the dark room is definitely a come as you are, you know, you don't have to put any facade on, you know, you just come as you are, and no one, you don't have to really dress a certain way, you know, just whatever it is, which is nice, I think, to have something like the Bistro for that, and then something like here, you know, where you don't have to feel intimidated.
Mm-hmm. I had some folks come to my set one night, and for them it was cool to be able to see, like, for one, like, people don't get to see, like, jazz the way we play it a lot. And for them, it was cool just to be able to see it up close and personal, like, wow, like, these dudes are doing this, like, you know, sitting at the table right here. And, you know, people are actually just up there creating. I mean, when you go see somebody, like, maybe at the Bistro or somewhere else, it's like they're kind of up here, you know, far further away from you. But, you know, you come to the dark room, it's like, you're right there. You're right in the middle of it.
Right. Yeah, you can be right up in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to right in your face.
Right. I think it was interesting you saying, like, you know, listening back to it and like that, or watching back to the performance and stuff too, like, because I've heard, like, a lot of comedians, you know, they tape a lot of their shows, and then, like, you know, I've heard a story, like, even with, like, Jerry Seinfeld, like, will do two shows a night and listen back to the first one while, as they're, like, getting ready for the second one, and because he's constantly working on, you know, hey, like, oh, that didn't work, and, like, edit it and for the next one and stuff, and, like, but, you know, I didn't even think about it, like, really for as far as music and stuff, too. Like, oh, well, you know, like,
yeah.
You can watch that and, like, oh, well, that didn't quite land the way we wanted it or something like that. And
as a musician, that a serious musician is trying to grow, you're all always right. Editing yourself, yeah. You know.
But as yeah, that'd be a...
It can be a curse, too, though, because right. Especially when you decide to listen back to something like that, and every artist can be different, but, I mean, from my experience and hearing about people's artist editing process, there has to also be a time of, like, separation from that stuff. But it's great because it's all archived,
right,
you know,
right.
Forever.
Sure.
And
for me personally, like, I hate listening to myself. I hate listening to myself play. I hate listening to myself talk. Like, I just hate. Yeah.
All right.
But, you know.
It's definitely something, an acquired thing for me, like, doing the show, like, having to listen to myself talk the first time and then having to edit it and having to, like, you know, listen to it, the final product too and stuff. So, like,
right.
I've gotten over it now, but, like, yeah, you it's tough at first, like, trying
you
to
definitely have to get over it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, what else was there? It was the Kranzberg's Art Foundation Artist in Residence Program. So this is all something you all three of you are part of this too?
Yes.
Tell me a little more about the foundation. I guess, like, is this I don't know anything about.
Well, it's evolved. I think it's still evolving. You know, just being around at the beginning of the dark room, that aspect of it was unique because it's a a bar, a wine bar, but the profits go back into this foundation to support the arts and the okay. different things that the foundation does. So as Chris and the other family members and members of the foundation were developing it, basically they were trying to focus on and support different artists, band leaders, I think is what they are saying is the main focus, and support us in different ways through the community. I mean, we most of the artists have some sort of rotation here at the Dark Room, whether it's weekly or monthly, and that's one aspect of the support. But there's also, there's a compilation that we all went in and recorded for that's gonna come out that kind of show the sound of the Dark Room, but obviously also give us an opportunity to record. We get access to facilities for rehearsing, which can definitely be valuable. There's the potential to do shows on larger stages in the various venues if we're, able to put something together that makes sense on a larger stage. I was able to, with the support of the foundation, bring an artist in, Cy Smith, who's a singer, who tours a lot with a different artist, but also has her own work that she does and tours with. And I had a friendship with her, but this is a market that really wouldn't make sense for her as an independent soul artist to come through unless she had some sort of support. The foundation was able to facilitate that to a point to get her to come in and allow me to put a band together to back her. So, just different things like that, supporting artists who are writing, recording, in various ways. And I think they are constantly looking for what the foundation can do for artists. And, it's still an evolving thing for sure.
Very nice. And then Ben mentioned something about, some of the younger players and stuff and things coming up. Is that a good way too, through the foundation, try to continue to help harbor younger, newer talent too? And get people involved in earlier on too?
I think it's everything too, yeah. Man. It's for seasoned guys like us too that have been hustling in this town for a long time, and it's an extra incentive and outlet to pursue your own thing. I think it's kind of the focus. Band leaders that are trying to do their own thing. And there's enough of us, and there's plenty out there that we don't know about that should look into the Kranzberg Art Foundation and what it can do for them, because it's an invaluable resource. And obviously there's a lot of unknowns of the potential, because the Lou Fest thing this year was just one example of an amazing opportunity for us that are just here grinding through the week playing our gigs, and then all of a sudden all that hard work really led to something. It led obviously to the Sound of St. Louis showcase, which was an amazing chance for us to present to our peers and to people that have never heard us before on a big scale. And it's all grassroots too, so hopefully that led to more people will be coming down here. Check out the cool things that are happening down here, and check out the Dark Room on any night of the week, because there's live music happening and there's going to be original music happening. And so, just an awesome multifaceted support system for all of us, both young and old. It's anybody that wants to do something,
For sure. Yeah, very cool. I was thinking about
I was thinking specifically too, on Wednesday nights, we have basically it's a progression, but it's a mini tour of the area that. The Kranzberg Art Foundation Center, that performance area, Bob Dubu hosts his jam session, which is a set of him playing his, but he changes his lineup every week too, right. So it's a great chance for all the professionals to get in the mix and just get in there and, play a jazz set with our leading bass player pretty much in this town, and then the second set is open to the jam, so any level, any age can come, and it's just a great experience for them to be right up in the mix to play next to a professional in this town. And there'll be guys that are touring too that'll come through if they're here during the week on any night of the week, but especially then come through on the Wednesday jam, and then they might be playing next to some middle school age kid just trying to improvise for the first time. It's a great mentorship way to do that. I mean, it's how it's always kind of how this music has worked anyway, and it's a great platform for to let that happen as it should.
Yeah, very nice. Well, again, I guess, do we have an official website? Is there a darkroom website, or is it all through Kranzberg's?
There's definitely a darkroom website and a foundation website, I'm pretty sure. somebody should know that. I think it's darkroomscl.com.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah. But you can go there to find pretty much everything.
Right. Yeah, and like again, I know, like I said, all these are on the Facebook pages and stuff, and I'm sure anywhere else you're, although Instagram or whatever else you use and things, so get involved, get plugged in socially with everything happening down here at Darkroom and the Arts Foundation and all these three individually. Like I said, you can catch them weekly down here playing. But yeah, I really appreciate you guys taking some time out to chat, man. Like I said, this has been a whole lot of fun to get into talk about all the stuff that's happening. So we got a lot of really cool things happening. Like I said, we touched on a couple of them down here in the Grand Center area. So get involved in our St. Louis community. We got a lot of fun things happening. So thank you guys. And
thank you.
I will see you all very soon.
Sounds good.
Great.
Bye, everybody.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.